Hola, welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a bilingual podcast that shares interviews with self-made millionaires, financially savvy investors, and all things financial literacy and dinero. Your host, Natalie Torres, is a two-time TEDx speaker, an award-winning author, investor, and financially savvy Latina that has been featured on NBC, Telemundo, and Forbes as a financial literacy and mental health advocate. She is joined by her co-host, Vera Eatley, an author, investor, and seasoned insurance professional. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. And I had to do a two-parter because, I mean, you're at the edge of the seat and Doc G is giving us so much information that I was like, I'm sorry, Vera, we had to do another section. So last off, if you didn't hear the previous episode, make sure you do chime into that. But this is the key. He's about to tell us what this Harvard study is. So Doc G, thank you for staying with us and tell us a little bit more about this.
Yeah, so I'm shooting myself in the foot here. My book is called The Purpose Code, and I'm about to tell you it isn't even about purpose, although studies show purpose is important. The Harvard Health Study, 70 years, interviewing people, following them, having them do questionnaires, and found out that happiness wasn't associated with purpose. It wasn't associated with wealth. It wasn't associated with achievement or career. You know what it was associated with?
What?
Interpersonal connections. It was the people, the community, and the connections. And here's where it ties back to my book. I believe little P purpose is the best way to build towards community and connections. I think when you do those things that light you up, you become like a flame to all the moths out there that have similar interests to you. And I think you end up forming a community. You and I are a perfect example of this in my life. You're part of my community because I did something that was deeply valuable and purposeful to me. I started a podcast. I started public speaking. I started engaging in these conversations, not because I wanted to be famous, not because I wanted to make millions of dollars. And even if I did those things, it wouldn't be nearly as important as my relationships with people like you. And we had mentioned Joe Salcihi, my relationship with Joe, who's one of my closest collaborators. Like this, I believe, is what truly leads to happiness. This is what comes from little P purpose.
Wow. That's a game. I even have goosebumps thinking about that because you're right on. It's those relationships that keep fueling. And you're right. We don't do this because the fame and the money, but we'll gladly take all of it. but it's part of that where you said you not only attract like-minded people, and even if you don't like-minded people, it's that. It's just, it makes you hopefully a better person. And hopefully you said it is part of that purpose. And to think that we're being aligned with that. And I have to give you a little background to people that don't know how, I know, like I said, Joe talked you up and everything, but we physically met in person right before the pandemic hit at EconomyCon, right? Which was an incredible conference every year. You should definitely attend. Just wonderful speakers. And we were both speakers at that event. I felt so alone and so out of, because I think it was, this was in Ohio, right? And so this was 2 weeks before the world shut down, and I had flown in from Podfest in Orlando, and I flew in the night before. So I missed out on the networking side with all the other speakers. So I showed up basically the next morning. And so you just kind of feel left out because like, I don't know anybody. These are amazing. And these are people that I've actually followed. And so you're just like, oh, I'm geeking out, but I don't want to look not cool. And then you're like, they don't know who I am. And so I think you were the very first person that greeted me at breakfast. And we started having this conversation, not just about money, but we were just talking about life. And I have to thank you. And I don't think I ever told you that, where it's like, you made me feel so relaxed. And being a person of color, we get nervous when we go to other states that we don't recognize. And I've been to Ohio before, but you know, it's a small town. You just never know who you're going to see. And you just know how people are going to take you. And you just feel like a fish out of water. And I was one of very few people of color speaking. But the fact that you just embraced that and talked to me about, hey, you know, and I think that's what's really cool. Because once again, it's, I just want to meet people like you that have the passion, the purpose, or at least following that blueprint. Because I think sometimes it's easy for us to maybe revert back to old friends or old lifestyles that really didn't fit our alignment. And maybe at that point they were perfect. I call them seasoned friends because they were perfect in that season. But I think your book does really just help kind of give someone, because I think we all need that, like a blueprint or some that kind of example. When you were doing this, and I'm sure the research behind it, did it help you get closer to your blueprint, or did you feel like, I'm practicing what I'm preaching? How did you feel about it when you're, I know writing does different things to people. So how did that make you feel?
So here's what was interesting. I felt like I was living the life, but I never had the words for it. But I will say it took a lot of the tension and strain of goals off of me. I had always been fairly goal agnostic, but after really doing this writing, it was like, yes, this is why constantly going after goals did not make me happy. This is why I was on what I call the achievement treadmill, right? You get achievement, you feel good for a minute, and then it has to be a bigger and better achievement. I've lived most of my life doing that. And it helped me really see that after changing my life and pursuing Little P Purpose and leaving medicine, I had almost no friends when I was a busy practicing doctor. I didn't like hanging out with doctor people. I never went to the doctor lounge. I never understood why. And now I know it's because I didn't really fit that sense of identity and purpose. I had taken on my father's sense of identity and purpose. And since it didn't fit me very well, I didn't connect with those people. But I look at my life today and I can go look at my calendar and all the meetings and the Zoom meetings and the friends and the connections and the collaborations. Like, I now have a full life of things that weren't there 5 years ago that just feel so much like living, that just feel so purposeful. I was a doctor forever and I didn't feel like I was making a difference in the world, although I was helping people all the time. But in the last 5 years, I feel just so much more connected, because when I found people who actually had the same interests as me, had that same Little P purpose, I didn't have to work on the friendships. They were already there. The collaborations normally happened. And so I have these people out in the world who we connect, we collaborate, we have a shared sense of interest. You and I, you've done a few episodes on my podcast. I've done a few episodes on yours. We've shown up and spoken in the same places. We have common friends. This is what the book, writing it, made me realize, that this richness that I had created in my life had come from getting much more in touch with my sense of purpose. And purpose had always been so anxiety provoking up until the point where I just let go and started doing things I like to do.
I love that. The richness that comes with that, right? And I think there's this misconception, I know, not just within Latino culture, but you hear this saying in Spanish, I'm going to butcher it in English, but it's they say, oh, I'd rather be poor and surrounded by people that love me as opposed to being rich, surrounded by people, no one. And granted, it doesn't have to be either or. And, you start learning why that's become such a saying, I guess, in Spanish, or I'm sure in other cultures too. But you just said it, it's the richness that we find, not just in our work, but with the people, the connections that we long for. And I think, I'm going to revert a little bit to Sir Ken Robinson, rest in peace. He was one of my mentors and he had one of the best TED Talks as well, but his book was a Finding Purpose. So I think the fact that when I read your book, and it's funny reading a book now in my 40s, as opposed to when I read his book when I was in my, I want to say my like 20s, how these connections really do hit harder now. So those that haven't read his book, you have to read Dr. G's book, because I think sometimes we lose our track, right? We lose the, maybe we had the blueprint and the blueprint's totally not what it was supposed to be or completely different. And I mean, I think I'm in that place in my life right now too, where I'm kind of like, oh my gosh, should I just be a stay-at-home mom, which is also an amazing job, but it's also kind of like, well, I still want to do all these other things. And how do I reconstruct this blueprint now being an older parent? Cause we thought we would be younger parents. So just kind of interesting. And I love how you incorporate with your kids too. Like, how do you had a different upbringing. Your father passed away when you were so young. And so how do you connect that with your purpose?
I think family and people are important, but in the book, I make the argument that people can't be your purpose because they move on, because you want them to live a life of their own, because investing in other people is important, but by investing in yourself, you actually invest in other people in a much better way. And so I learned very quickly that my kids needed to see me doing very purposeful things outside of them. They needed to see me going at life with gusto, getting involved in things that I loved, and feeling connected and lit up. And I just felt like if I spent every moment being with them, I would not only smother them, but then what model would they have when they became parents? They would do the same thing. And then what you have is these generations of people who live for their kids, which is fantastic, except I feel my kids will be better served by seeing me doing things that light me up, because I want them to be kind of adults who have interests and hobbies and excitement. Don't get me wrong, I spend tons of time with my kids, but some of the best time is actually when I get to introduce them to what feels purposeful to me, and they get to try that on, because that's what kids do, is they try on the identity and purpose of their parents and the people around them, and then they get to decide, does this fit for me? If it does, great. Does it not fit for me? We're so good at talking about generational trauma. That is what we get from other generations that doesn't serve us. My parents were freaked out about money, so now I'm freaked out about money. My parents were freaked out about money because their parents were freaked out of money. We love talking about generational trauma, but what we never discuss is generational growth. If my parents are lit up by something, they can pass that on to me, and that excitement and that joy, and then I can try on that purpose, that identity, and if I like it, I'm going to model that behavior for my kids. So instead of these bad things being passed down, we have these wonderful things being passed down. That's generational growth. I think it's actually the antidote to generational trauma. And that's what little P purpose is it's actually handing down to your children this generational growth. And they get to try it on. And if they're not excited by what you like, they can always find something else that lights them up.
That's beautiful. It's beautiful. At any age, at any parent, right? We could take that, like you're saying, is having the growth behind generational wealth, the growth behind getting past those generational traumas that, you know, it's not an overnight healing thing, right? It's something mm-hmm. that we have to constantly work. And this is the perfect time. You need to read his book, because I think I see this too much, especially on social media. They're like, oh, the things that I accomplished this year, or the things I will accomplish next year. Here, you know, I'm putting it onto the universe. And sometimes I think that can be helpful, but also I feel like it could be very hurtful, because it's kind of, you just said it. Oh, my goal is to become, you know, the president next year, or whatever it might be, instead of having the blueprint that's going to get you to where you want to be if that happens. And you talked a little bit, for those that didn't hear the previous episode, listen to it as well. You mentioned some of the factors that sometimes we don't take into account that can lead to our success, which you said being born at the right time, genetics, luck, preparation, the opportunity. Can you touch a little bit more about that, and especially within your book?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really obvious. I grew up, and I want to contrast two different people who made an effect on my life, right? So I grew up, and I had a learning disability, and my dad had died, and I felt disconnected. I had no community. I had nothing. And there was this gentleman who had an antique store. His name was Roman. And he started selling baseball cards out of his antique store. It lit him up. It was his sense of little P purpose. He didn't do it for any other reason than it just excited him. And he said, you know what? Instead of just selling antiques, I'm going to sell antiques and baseball cards. His store became a hub for nerds and geeks and disconnected people like me. And he ended up being our mentor, and he created a sense of community. And hundreds of kids walked out of that store with a renewed sense of confidence and had enough confidence to go forward in the world and probably do a million amazing things. Roman died of cancer a few years after I knew him. He had to close the store. He died like 30 years ago. Roman has profoundly affected my life. You know who hasn't profoundly affected my life? Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle was one of the best known baseball players out there. And all I wanted to do was find and have his baseball cards as a little kid. Now, if I decided I wanted to be like Mickey Mantle as a kid because I loved his baseball cards, my big P purpose would be to be a major league baseball player and to be one of the best in the world. A, I didn't have the talent. I was in Little League and I was horrible. B, I probably didn't have the genetics. You know, I came from two parents who weren't good at athletics. C, maybe I was born to the wrong place. Like, I wasn't born in a place where baseball was something people spent a lot of time on, and there were a lot of these great mentors who could teach me about it. So, if I had decided that instead of having a mentor as this guy Roman, who owned the antique store, if virtually Mickey Mantle was going to be my mentor, most likely for every million kids who dream of becoming Mickey Mantle, 999,999 of them are going to fail and be disappointed and have anxiety about this purpose that they can never reach. And so I think we have to be somewhat realistic. If you choose big, audacious goals, again, it's all or nothing, and only a few people can get what you're going for. It's a zero-sum game. How many people have been president throughout our nation's history? 46, 7, whatever, a very small number of people, unless you happen to be one of those people, you're going to, you know, fail, be disappointed, and probably feel a good deal of anxiety. And so this is why I think we have to be really thoughtful about thinking about things that we enjoy the process of doing and let the goals come or not come. I have nothing wrong with goals. I think we need to be goal agnostic, but we don't have to be goal phobic. You can build in these big goals into what you like doing, but if the goal becomes the purpose and whether you attain the goal or not defines whether you're happy, then you're probably doing it wrong. The goal can be there, but it's the process of doing that has to light you up.
The process of doing has to light you up. I love that. It's the process. And that's what we're doing, right? Especially I always feel at the end of the year, people are checking off their checklist to see, did I accomplish this? Or do I have I have a month or two left to do this. It's the process to get you there. Wow.
And I want to mention this, and we talk about bucket lists, and yes, it's, you know, book is coming out January 7th. So this is right around New Year's resolution. And I often talk to people about this idea of like, there's a continuum between what I would call cheap thrills and happiness, true devoted happiness. On the cheap thrill side, we have something like buying stuff, right? So you can buy something and it's going to give you cheap thrills, but we all know that eventually hedonic adaption, you fall back to your baseline, you're not happy anymore. Here's where I think people get things wrong. Bucket list items and experiences, I also think are kind of in the middle of the cheap thrills continuum towards deep devoted happiness. The problem is you achieve that thing, either you succeed or you fail, and then you move on and it's gone already. But if we really want to talk about enduring happiness, it's really becoming the person you want to be. It's not taking the trip to Italy. It's becoming the person who likes adventure, who's not afraid to go out and do new things and likes to connect with different types of people. You don't need to hit a bucket list item to be that person. You don't need to travel the world to be adventurous. So really, I think when it comes to enduring happiness, we're really talking about becoming the person we want to be. And it just, goals don't really play into that. I mean, we think it does, but whether you reach the goal or not is really beside the point.
I love it. You're making it so simple. So if you haven't bought the book, it's a great, you can put that on your Christmas list, right? For someone that might need it, right? I think that's one of the best things that people are like, what do I get someone? And sometimes it's just that. It's like, I love it when someone gives me a book that you're like, this changed my life. And RIP to Roman. I love the fact that you said he still has this, he resonates with you. And I think so many times we think about like, how did this person affect my life? And I'm constantly thinking about that now, especially because we're adopted parents. So we have these questions all the time, like how will we influence our child? How will we hopefully in a good way? And how do we fill in those gaps, right? As opposed to, you know, when it's your biological child. And so it brought me comfort hearing the way you're saying that was like this person that was at a store made this impact. And I hope and only hope for that, for children to have that connection with people. Like you said, we geek out on certain things. And I think that's so cool. As we get older, we learn that there's so many people like us that we don't have to feel so alone. And if we are pretty unique, chances are there's going to be one or two people just like that too. So I think you and I must have been that. We're kindred spirits.
For sure.
So before we go, how can people get your book? Get it, and just and then maybe one takeaway for people to connect.
So first and foremost, the book, you can get it everywhere books are sold, but the easy way too is go to jordangrummet.com. That's jordangrummet.com. You will learn about my books there as well as my podcast, blog, pretty much all the ways you can interact with me. And I guess the big takeaway message from this conversation is purpose can be abundant and not scary, and it can lead to really good things.
Oh, best way to end the episode. Thank you so much. I'm sure we're going to have you again because Vera's going to be like jealous that she missed this one. And she is all about purpose, her why story. So thank you again. Get his book and stay tuned for more of him. I'm sure we're going to have him again.
Thank you so much for the great conversation.
To learn more about the podcast, follow us on Instagram at FinSavvy in 20 minutes and catch our interviews on YouTube. If you want to become a sponsor, hire us for your next workshop or speaking engagement, reach out to us at financiallysavvyin20minutes.com or send us a DM. All it takes is 20 minutes out of your day to become financially savvy.